Well, that's right. It is time for the I Love Ann Show. And as promised, I do have Congressman Trey Gowdy on the line with us here this morning. He is a WCRS contributor right here. And it sure is nice to have you on the line with us here today.
I'm thrilled to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. I got a real serious question to ask you. I did see a lot of pictures out there with Corey and Willie Robinson from Duck Dynasty.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get your picture taken?
I did not. I sat about 30 yards away from them. They were up in the balcony, and Tim Scott and I were right below them. But they were far and away the most popular guest at the State of the Union. And I would have had to elbow or assault a lot of my colleagues to get to them, and I didn't feel like it was worth the risk.
I asked him the same question. He said he'd already had his picture taken at the Coca-Cola at some race or something, so he let other people get their picture taken.
Well, the most famous person, the football coach at Vanderbilt, just went to Penn State, a guy named James Franklin. That's the most famous person other than Tim Scott that I was with the night of the State of the Union.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. And, of course, one of the things that this thing with the IRS, where are we going with this, Trey? I mean, they just have said they're going to reinstate their bonuses.
Yeah, that was stunning. The other stunning development, Sunday, of course, the president said there was not a smidgen of corruption.
You're right.
Which came as a shock to Jim Jordan and Jason Chaffetz and I, because we had just received a letter from the Department of Justice saying they were refusing to send the prosecutor to update us on the investigation because it was an ongoing investigation. So yesterday, again, we had James Cole, who's the number two guy at the Department of Justice, before a committee yesterday. And I didn't raise my voice. I didn't yell and scream. I just said, look, you're a prosecutor. I used to be one. You can't have the president prejudging an investigation and expect anybody to have confidence in it. You need to appoint an independent special prosecutor. And that's what they need to do.
You're speechless.
Well, the allegations are so serious that your government would target you based on your political beliefs, and then to have the president say there's not a smidgen of corruption or criminality when he doesn't have a clue. He hadn't been updated on the investigation. So, you know, it's important. It goes to the fabric of who we are. And, you know, put politics aside. I that's one reason I like law enforcement and prosecutors. They're not overtly political people. This is a law enforcement issue. And for the president to say what he did Sunday night was just stunning. And then to give bonuses to boost the morale of your employees when you're the most unpopular entity of government is stunning. And all the more reason we need to do a really good job as we lead into the November elections of giving people a pretty stark contrast in terms of what their options are.
Well, what, you know, who does the Inspector General actually report to?
The Inspector General?
Mm-hmm.
Well, ostensibly they're independent. They are presidentially appointed and they're independent, but the Inspector General does not have access to a grand jury and cannot bring criminal charges. That has to be done by a prosecutor, which involves the Department of Justice. Well, the Department of Justice, for myriad reasons, I don't think that they are, well, let me say this. I don't think people are going to have confidence in the outcome of their investigation given what the president said on Sunday. So I want an independent prosecutor with access to the grand jury who does not report to Eric Holder, and then he or she can report back to us and say, this is what I found. I am much more likely to have confidence in that than I am a career prosecutor who works for Eric Holder when the president has already prejudged the outcome of the case.
Do you think you'll get that?
Well, I'd say this, Ann. If we don't get it in this case, they ought to do away with the statute. They ought to just do away with the independent counsel special prosecutor statute, because the statute says it's appropriate in extraordinary cases where it furthers the public interest. Well, targeting people based on their political beliefs is pretty extraordinary. And if you look at the polls, about 70% of our fellow citizens want an independent special prosecutor. So it meets both of the criterion. And if they say no in this case, we ought to just do away with the statute.
Yes, I think we should, Trey. But what was the response that you got yesterday? Is there any movement in that direction, or is it just going to be something that's going to be drug around? And, you know, maybe by the time we get through the November elections, that this will come back up around.
Well, I think the November elections are really, really important because, you know, the House can provide oversight, but we're one half of the show. And I can't think of a single hearing in the Senate on the IRS scandal. I can't think of a single hearing in the Senate really that accomplished much on any of the scandals. So, I mean, imagine a world where you've got, you know, I'll pick Tom Cotton, who's a congressman who's running for the Senate, a very bright lawyer from Arkansas. Imagine having him in the Senate chairing a committee that's every bit as interested in getting to the bottom of the IRS or Benghazi or the NSA as Daryl Issa is. I mean, right now, you've got half pursuing the investigation, and then in the Senate, they could care less. So it's important. I mean, if you want oversight of your government, you either need to put senators in the Senate that are interested in it, or if the ones you have aren't interested in it on the Democrat side, you may need to change the complexion of it.
Well, I think a lot of people are just worried that a lot of stuff, like the president saying there wasn't a smidgen there, so then we just get things drug around, just kind of like what happened in the last election. And then people get elected, and then it's too far gone. I think a lot of people are really, really concerned about that aspect, Trey.
Well, they should be. It's not a question. My fear is not so much that it get in the rearview mirror. My fear is that there are people waving their hands and screaming at the top of their lungs, but they are powerless to do anything about it. I cannot indict anybody. That was my old job. I do not have the power to indict. I can't prosecute. I can't put people in jail. I can't compel them to provide evidence to me. And, you know, for the president to say there's no criminality, well, and the image that most of us have from the IRS scandal is Lois Lerner.
Yes, there was.
Taking the Fifth Amendment. Well, if there's no criminality, why did she invoke her Fifth Amendment privilege?
Sure. You know, it seems kind of like, you know, we've had all these bank regulators running around, right, and doing all the things to the banks. And here, right here in the government, we have issues, and it's just being glossed over. And now we're talking about, can you imagine banks getting bonuses? The bank regulator is saying, sure, give them bonuses for their morale.
It's stunning. The question is, does it become stunning enough that people say, you know what, I haven't been really terribly political in the past because I'm busy working and paying my taxes and raising my family, but enough is enough. And that town and that place and that government is so out of touch with the way I run my life, I'm going to get involved. And I hope turnout is the highest it has ever been in November. And I'm sure if there were a box that said throw them all out, that box would be checked. But if that box isn't on there, then you got to look at the candidates really hard, and you got to ask yourself, who is most likely to hold themselves and others accountable? I've been here 3 years. I've gone from Fast and Furious to Benghazi to the IRS, to now Obamacare and the turning off of certain provisions. Yesterday we find out we're going to lose jobs and not gain jobs, which some of us already knew. The question then becomes, at what point do the people who get to hire and fire politicians get so upset that they say, you know what, we're going in another direction? And we got a chance in November. Every member of the House is up, and a third of the Senate's up.
I wanted to ask you, bringing that to a question, I wanted to ask you about Harry Reilly, a retired Army officer from Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
Who's talking about the Operation American Spring. I'm sure you've heard about it.
I may not have.
You may not have.
You may know something I don't know.
Well,
I'm sure you know a lot of things I don't know.
but not as important as you, Trey. But
yes, you are.
This one right here is about the Operation American Spring, where tens of millions of patriots are going to gather in Washington.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, the next part of this says that once this second American Revolution has been successful, they're talking about putting the principled people like West Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, Lee DeMint, Paul, Governor Walker, and Gowdy will comprise a tribunal and assume positions of authority to convene investigations and recommend appropriate charges against politicians and government employees to the new U.S. Attorney General appointed by the next president. You're on that list, Trey.
Well, they've obviously got me confused with Tim Scott or Mick Mulvaney or someone else. I think our framers were geniuses. I really do. My dad and I had this conversation last time I was home. I think they had a beyond human level of wisdom, and they gave us the tools that we need to take control of our government. Again, whether that's a constitutional convention, whether that's elections, I mean, every 2 years you can change the complexion of the House. And because when I go back, and I welcome anybody to come to Washington, and I welcome anybody to say whatever they want, which is protected by the First Amendment.
Sure.
But the reality is, we just had a presidential election, and for whatever reason, and I'll just blame myself, I apparently was not good enough or persuasive enough or whatever enough to convince a majority of my fellow citizens that we needed to change direction. And in reality, it wasn't even close.
No,
if you look at the electoral map, it wasn't close.
Correct.
So, and I have this debate with my friends all the time. It is, if you're in the majority, then you can say, deal the cards. If you're in the majority, you can say, you know what, we're in the majority, deal the cards, we're gonna change the game. If you're not in the majority, then you have to persuade people to change their minds, and that's a totally separate analysis. And I am trying to persuade people who are either apathetic about politics or maybe even, you know, went the other way last time but are open-minded to changing their minds. I'm trying to persuade them to give us another chance.
And how do you think it's going to work, Trey?
I think we got a really good chance to win the Senate if we don't screw it up. And there are several ways we can screw it up. But if we don't screw it up, and then what I propose and what I would hope is if we ever have a Republican president again, no matter who he or she is, that we would have the exact same interest in providing oversight and accountability to that person, even though they're a member of our same party. I would love to hold a Republican attorney general to the same standard that I've been talking about holding Eric Holder to. I don't change my mind just because my friend is in a position of power. I actually have higher expectations for people that are linked to me than people who are not.
Sure.
So I think we have one more chance for people who are on the verge of saying, you know what, it's just not worth it. The political process is not worth it anymore. We have one more chance to say, let us lead again. And then if we blow it, then we've blown it. But I am about looking at myself first, and how can I be better, and how can I be more persuasive, and how can I be more accountable, and hope that appeals to the people that I aspire to work for. I think we have a chance in November, but you know, it's not like people love Republicans and don't like the others. For the most part, people don't like anyone connected to politics these days.
That is true. That is true. And everybody is pretty much fed up with what isn't happening in Washington.
Well, when you have divided government, either people have a sense of humor, which I would imagine has run out, or we're fixing to change the fact that we have divided government. But I can just tell you, having been here 3 years, it is impossible to get much of anything beyond what has to be done to keep the railroad car on the tracks.
Sure.
It is divided government. And what you get is these mammoth bills, whether it's the farm bill or whether it's the immigration bill coming out of the Senate, you get these mammoth bills that really nobody's terribly happy with, but have created enough favor with different groups that it can pass, and the people who get left holding the bag with that are the regular, ordinary citizens.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think about the immigration bill that's coming out, and where Boehner, Speaker Boehner, has said that I think he's calling for immigration reform? What do you know about what Boehner's thinking?
Well, you would think I'd know a lot since I'm the chairman of the subcommittee, but those principles came out of his own office, and they didn't come through judiciary. What I think about immigration is this. If you're going to be a national party, if you really want to look the voters in the eyes and say, we're ready to lead, and we're ready to lead on all issues of constitutional significance, and immigration is uniquely constitutional, it's mentioned in the Constitution, then you need to tell people what you're for and what you're not for. Having said that, pieces of legislation or dramatic changes in course or direction require three things: good policy, trust with the people you're dealing with, and timing. And that timing is dictated by the people you work for. The people I work for do not have trust, frankly, in either side, but they certainly don't have trust in the current executive branch, who has not enforced the current law.
Sure.
So trust isn't there. The timing, I would argue, is not there because the trust isn't there. And other reasons, people are focused on jobs and the economy. Immigration reform doesn't rank terribly high on any list of people's priorities. And with respect to policy, I'm all for whoever wants to be president in 2016 or whoever wants to run for the House or Senate in 2014. Tell people what you're for, and they'll decide whether you're right or not. So the policy part, I don't have any quarrels with that. If you want to tell people what your policy is, if you're, you know, Tom Cotton is a very good friend of mine. He has a different position on immigration reform than Raul Labrador, who's also a friend of mine from Idaho. Tell people what you're for. But in terms of trust and timing, neither one of them exist right now. And I think you're going to see Boehner back off. And I don't think you're going to see anything done in 2014, and you're not going to see it done because there's a tremendous deficit of trust among the people that we work for.
Sure. So you don't see that immigration will go anywhere this year?
Well, we passed four bills out of judiciary and a fifth, the border security bill out of Homeland Security, but they haven't been brought to the floor of the House, and frankly, Ann, there's no consensus. You know, our colleagues on the other side of the aisle think my bill is too tough, the SAFE Act, so they're not going to vote for it. I've got friends on the Republican side who say, look, Gowdy, I like your bill, but I don't trust the Senate, so we're not going to pass your bill and go to conference. When you don't trust the people that you're working with, you know, Bob Goodlatte is the chairman of Judiciary. Last evening I spent about an hour with him, and we were talking about trust. You have to trust the person you're working with. And the president in the past has not enforced immigration law. He's not enforced the drug laws. He's not enforced the Affordable Care Act. And then Sunday he concludes that an investigation is over before it's over. So why would we trust him as a negotiating partner?
I don't think you would.
and since we're not, then I don't see anything happening. And he's got nobody to blame but himself. I mean, he can talk about those mean-spirited Republicans all he wants, but I've got to be able to go back home and tell people that whatever we come up with is going to be the law, and it's going to be enforced, and the border security is real, and the internal security is real, and the E-Verify is real. How can I do that when I have an administration that's going to not apply the law when it's to their political benefit to not apply the law? I can't make that promise to them. And until I make that promise, I'm not going to push it.
So will President Obama just make an executive order to make it happen?
He talked about that a lot. I think that's he's trying to fire up his base. Congress isn't popular, but neither is he. And he knows he has no chance to take the House. If you notice the retirements, there have been a slew of retirements on the Democrat side of the House because they know they're not going to take the House. So what he's trying to do is just keep from losing the Senate. He's trying to fire up his base by saying, if Congress won't do this, I'll go it alone. I mean, lay aside how ridiculously unconstitutional that is. He can't do it. He's had a pen and a phone for 5 years. He hadn't done anything with it so far. So that's all about trying to fire up his donors and his base so he can hold on to the Senate. Because I'm just telling you right now, Ann, if there's a Republican Senate and a Republican House for the last 2 years of his presidency, then he ain't getting none of his agenda through. Excuse my grammar.
Well, will anything happen, though? Even if we turn it over to Republicans, can anything happen then?
It can. I'm all for contrast. I'm all for telling people before they vote for you, this is what I'm going to do. If you like it, then I would be honored if you consider voting for me. If you don't like it, then do not vote for me. What I don't want to do is simply have no platform whatsoever, and our whole election strategy be, at least we're not them. We're not as bad as the other side. Because that doesn't inspire a lot of enthusiasm in people to say, well, they're just a scaled-down version of what we really don't like. Mick Mulvaney wrote a piece over the weekend. I hope he'll publish it. And he goes back and he talks about Reagan and bold colors and being unafraid and telling people what you believe and why you believe it and what you're going to do. I like the boldness of that. I do not want to run for office simply saying, well, I'm not quite as bad as the other guy.
No. And that is the thing about you, Trey Gowdy. I always enjoy talking to you because you always, I think we could call this straight talk because we get the straight answers from you, Congressman Trey Gowdy.
I don't know any other way to do it, Ann.
Well, we really, really, really appreciate you here on WCRS. Real quick, that CBO release that came out about losing jobs and everything, what do you have to say about that?
Well, you were told that you could keep your health insurance, and that turned out to be a lie. And you were told you could keep your doctor, and that turned out to be a lie. And you were told your premiums were going down, and that turned out to be a lie. And you were told that actually jobs would increase, and that now has turned out to be a lie. It makes you wonder how many lies you will need to be told before you conclude that you made a mistake by passing the Affordable Care Act. I suspect the voters have already concluded that. But some of my colleagues are still saying it was the proudest moment of their service in government when they voted for it. So there's a tremendous disconnect between the people who listen to your radio show and some of the people who work in this town. And I hope the message will be sent pretty clearly in November that losing your doctor, your health insurance, and having your premiums go up and having your hours cut isn't what they wanted.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, and thanks so much for coming on this morning, Congressman
Trey Gowdy.
God bless you,
Ann. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.